Here it is, the most listened to radio show on the planet. Even the other stations are tuned in too.
Hello, fellow enthusiasts. This is Jeffrey Siebert, park president for Six Flags Fiesta Texas, and you are listening to the Coaster Challenge Podcast.
Hi, I'm Brian.
And I'm James.
And we're from Zoodoo Loopers, and you're listening to the Coaster Challenge Podcast.
Hi, this is Cameron Lau, Cameron Coasting on Instagram, and you're listening to the Coaster Challenge Podcast.
Hi, this is Steve Boney, and I work for Mauer Rides, and I do their sales in North America and in Australia, and you're listening to the Coaster Challenge Podcast.
Do you accept the Coaster Challenge?
Yes, I accept the Coaster Challenge.
Do you accept the Coaster Challenge? Coaster Challenge Podcast is here. It's time to face your fears. Get that theme park therapy and let us blow your ears. Coaster Challenge Podcast is here. Your fear can disappear. We know that theme park therapy can dry up all your tears. Do you accept the Coaster Challenge? Yes, I accept the Coaster Challenge. Do you accept the Coaster Challenge? We accept because you know we're not average.
You're listening to the Coaster Challenge Podcast. A journey where people become fearful to fearless, all from riding roller coasters. So please, secure your hats and glasses, and keep your hands and arms inside the podcast. It's time to accept the Coaster Challenge with your hosts, Kim Dykes.
Good evening. This is Kim, one of the producers for the Coaster Challenge Podcast. Today, I'm happy to welcome a guest that has a passion for one of my personal favorite coasters, El Toro. Have you ever wondered how someone can ride the same coaster over and over again and not get tired of it? Well, now you're going to get answers. Ryan Friend, aka Mr. Toro, has nearly 2,000 rides on this amazing coaster and has an incredible story to share about why it holds such a special place in his heart. Thank you for taking the time to talk with me, and welcome to the podcast, Ryan.
Thank you, Kim.
I am so excited to talk with you. I just got to ride El Toro last July, and my only regret about that trip was we only got 11 rides. I wish I had time to ride more because I absolutely fell in love with it, so I'm very excited to hear more about your experience. We always like to begin our interviews with our guests sharing some interesting things about themselves. What would you like our audience to know about you before we get started?
I work two jobs. I'm a lunch chaperone at a school, and I also work at Six Flags as a ride operator.
Well, that's awesome. I did not know you worked at a school. Is it elementary, middle, high school?
It's a elementary school.
Fun. I'm in that lovely time of school year as well right now with the post-spring break crazies. I'm counting down the days so I can get my coaster therapy in and do my summer travel so I can return refreshed next year. So we always begin our interviews with basically the fear journey. I call it the roller coaster time traveler, where we go back in time, talking about your experience riding coasters in the past and your history in amusement parks. And then the last part of the interview is going to fast forward out of the time travel machine into the Ryan of here and now and things that you have planned for the future. So the first question we always like to ask our guests is, what was the first coaster you remember riding?
My first coaster I rode was back in 2001 when I was 10 years old. It was Batman the Ride, then I rode Medusa.
Okay, very cool. My first one I remember was, it's now Woodstock Express. It was Beastie at Kings Island. And I think after that, it was Racer. And after that, I can't remember. Might have been King Cobra I rode a couple times. It's hard to think back past, very much further past that. So, you know, as enthusiasts, the one word we hear a lot that makes me smile nowadays when I'm waiting in lines is the word scary. You know, how scary is it? Does it go upside down? What does it do? Thinking back through your fear journey, what is the coaster that you were really scared to ride more than any other coaster?
That would probably be Batman, because I remember walking up to it and I'm like, nope, not doing it. Mm-mm. I don't want to go on it. That looks intimidating. The loop, the loud roar from B&M. I'm like, all right, fine. I'll give it a shot. And then I get off. I'm like, that wasn't too bad.
Okay. So what was it specifically that scared you about the coaster? Was it the loop, the roar? I mean, the combination?
The combination of both, for sure.
Mm-hmm. That sound now, to me, it's the a good being and roar is a nice little relaxing sound now. But I'm agree with you. The first time I heard it, I was like, holy Mary, mother of God, what is that? It's some sort of beastly sound. So as you approached the station, how were you feeling?
Scared. I'm like, why am I doing this? I wasn't really into coasters that much back then. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a pass holder back at Great Adventure back then. I was going sporadic visits here and there during the year. I'm like, all right, let's see what this is all about. If I like it, I like it. If I don't, then it is what it is.
Yeah. I remember all of the coasters I was scared to ride for a long time. I would feel all the same way. All the way through the line queue, I would feel my heart pounding out of my chest. I'd have the sweaty palms, the cotton mouth, hard time breathing. And it was so weird. The only exception to that was Top Thrill Dragster. I was like eerily calm walking through that station until I sat down in the seat. And then that's when all hell broke loose. In that moment when we were actually approaching the launch. But thankfully, my son, I share with you that he had autism. He used to be very repetitive when he was younger and would watch, you know, a lot of the same videos over and over again. Top Thrill Dragster for him at that point in time was his biggest fear, but he really wanted to face it. So he literally, I've always called him a sound guy, because he could pick up on sounds that coasters make, sounds everywhere that I don't even hear. And he can mimic the sounds perfectly too, can still do it. And he had memorized like the sound sequence from these videos on Top Thrill Dragster. So he was sitting with me on that first ride and was able to calculate and tell me the exact moment it would launch. And I think that was the only thing that got me through that first ride. So when you got off of that coaster for the first time, how were you feeling? Did you want to ride again, or did you need to go take a break? How did it go?
I think I wanted to take a break. I'm like, okay, I did it. I finally did it. My first coaster with a loop. And I waited probably about 2 hours, and then That's when I finally went on Medusa. I'm like, okay, that was cool.
All right. Yeah, for me, I was one of those, if I took a break, I'm thinking specifically back to those rides on Dragster. I can't remember the ones before. I think I did want to break after those. But with Dragster, I was bound to determine I was going to ride that thing until the fear was gone. So I just kept getting back in line, you know, like riding a bike. My goal was I had to get my hands up on the launch, and I knew the fear wasn't gone until I put my hands up on the launch. Now, don't put your hands up after the launch, put your hands up on the launch. And it took 5 or 6 rounds to do it. And then I had to do a couple bonus rounds after that to make sure the fear threshold was broken. And it held that. I was happy to say it held after that. I wasn't scared anymore. And when we rode King to Ka for the first time last July, I thought at some point nerves would kick in, and they didn't. It was just a ton of fun. Absolutely loved that one as well. So looking back, you know, on those first rides through the fear journey of, you know, overcoming that scariest coaster, would you say that it had any kind of impact on your life after riding?
I think so, for a little, just a little bit, not that big of one, but it says, okay, I'm thinking to myself, I overcame my fear of riding a roller coaster with a loop, and mm-hmm. I think I can ride anything now.
And, you know, that's something that's hit me, and it's continuing to hit me after the fact, are the impacts that all of the overcoming fear has had. Because for me, I haven't really realized it was happening when it was happening. It's all kind of been like a domino effect. Fear's in your head. It's all in your head. You're safer on that coaster than you are in a car, statistically, by far. And when I started getting serious about losing weight, it was the same thing. You know, the need to eat this much food, it's in your head. It's all your mind. So if you can get a grip on your mind, or if you can get a grip on your mind, when you're 400 plus feet in the air, you can get a grip on your mind in the kitchen. And, you know, and it also carried over to other parts of my life. I told you I used to be really introverted. I found this confidence that I never knew was in me, that I've never had in my entire life. Ease of speaking and talking with people that I used to avoid at all cost. And used to be a doormat, very codependent. I would just let people run all over me, you know, do for people and sacrifice myself and never really say anything. And I don't have a problem with assertiveness now either. It's amazing. Our podcast is all about coaster therapy. And it has changed my life for the better in so many ways. So, you know, doing this crazy hobby that we do, one of the most fun things for me are these unexpected moments that happen when you're on a trip, sometimes when you're with friends, and you just wind up laughing uncontrollably about it, or you're more just in a state of shock. How did that, you know, actually happen? Or did that person actually do that? Thinking back through your experiences in parks and on coasters, what has been your craziest moment that you've experienced?
Just meeting so many people who have heard of me and leaving a positive impact in the community and just being friends with everybody and everyone like, oh, that's the Toro guy and he's ridden that thing so many times. That's crazy. And he's always a pleasure to see at the park. He works here. He's a good person.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that all? Is that just around Six Flags Great Adventure?
I met a few fans at Carowinds when I went back there in September for my first time.
Awesome. Yeah, that's been a strange experience for me too. And it's literally happened everywhere. The people from, I think the furthest away were like Iowa. And I was actually recognized. I know your home park, Six Flags Great Adventure. Mm-hmm. My son and I were in line for King to Call at like 9:30 at night. And there was somebody behind me in line that didn't know my name, but they recognized me from my Instagram username. And just people coming up and say, oh, I saw you here, I saw you there, and I was afraid to talk to you. And I'm like, why would you? Don't be afraid to talk to me. I'm just just another person from Louisville, Kentucky. That's about all there is to me. But it's very rewarding to me. It's told me, you know, just like you're talking, the impact you have on people and you don't even realize you're having it. Sometimes these really small things can make a huge difference in someone's life. You know, people want to stop and talk. People want to take a picture. I'm always happy to do it. I don't care, you know, if I'm tired, if I'm hungry, or if I'm wanting to go ride. You know, just take a couple of minutes and be kind to people. Because you never know how much that little snippet of time can mean to that person. So I am going to ask very quickly, have you counted the number of coasters you've written?
I have.
What's your coaster count?
As of right now, it's 129.
Okay, that's a good, solid number. So out of the 129 coasters you've written, I think this goes without saying, unless you're going to completely shock the world with this. What is your favorite number one coaster?
Right now? Mm-hmm. Fury 325.
More than El Toro?
Just by a...
Ooh, now that's surprising. I thought hands down you would say El Toro. So what is it that you love about Fury?
Well, it was my first Giga, so that says a lot. Mm-hmm. And back in September for my big trip with my buddies and I. So I was like, what the heck just happened? That was insane, and the speed was intense. I'm like, this thing is relentless. I rode in the front, I rode in the middle, the back. Mm-hmm. I rode it during the day, during sunset. I rode at night. I'm like, yeah, that's top tour for me.
So, you know, funny story about me. We went for the first time back in 2019 to ride Fury. And that was before I was an enthusiast. We just went because my son, he was really trying hard to overcome and face fear. And it had always been a dream of his to ride Fury. And we rode six times on that trip in 2019. And I chickened out and wouldn't even get night rides. We left. Like, I still cannot believe I did that. And so we returned in 2021. Now, that was when the park was still closing relatively early, you know, post-COVID. I remember well, we got 25 rides on Fury that day, but no night rides because the park closed early. And I finally overcame my fear, had my hands up on the drop, hands up, feet out. The fear was gone. So we returned again last year. And we've started what we call our annual Fury Marathon Day. We got 35 rides that day. Of course, I went and did a few other things in the park as well. And we got to ride with the infamous Fury guy, McLean Waddell, that now has over 10,000 rides on Fury. And I've got a couple of other friends that live down there in North Carolina as well that we meet up with typically when we go to the park. But finally got those night rides in. That was fantastic. Well, here's where Fury really took on a whole other level of me. I don't know if you remember my Facebook post back around Thanksgiving or Christmas. I was in more pain than I think I may have ever been in my entire life. Right before Thanksgiving, I broke a tooth on a piece of popcorn. And long story short, that tooth wound up, it was resorbing, which basically means my tooth was being absorbed by my body down into the canal. I was developing a very serious infection that could have been life-threatening. The pain I was in, it was morning, noon, and night. It was nonstop all day, every day. I would literally sit for like 45 minutes at a time with an ice pack on my face, just trying to move my face. And the dentist finally figured out the tooth needed to be pulled. So they pulled the tooth right before Christmas. And of course, when the dentist was shut down over Christmas, the pain just shot to an all-time even worse level. Like, I could barely function. I was like, if someone could not get me out of this pain, take me out of the street and hit me with a car. I mean, I don't know what else to do. I was trying all day, every day just to ignore it as best I could. And I decided, you know what? It was Christmas break. I had a few days left. Started looking at the temperatures and stuff because I was just in agony. I'm like, one way or another, I don't care. I've got to do something to forget about this. We're going to take a coaster trip. So I decided, I looked at the temperatures, communicated with my friends down in that area, made sure that our main coasters we wanted to re-ride would be open, you know, with the temperatures being marginal that time of year. So we decided to take a trip. We were going to go show up at Carowinds. We were going to ride Fury as much as we could that night. And then the next day, we spent half the day just riding Pantheon over and over again at Busch Gardens Williamsburg. Left in the middle of the afternoon and went and left in the afternoon and then went and finished up at Twisted Timbers at King's Dominion that night. Well, the day before we left on the trip, I had gone back to the dentist. And they said, you know, they did the best they could, but that it should be in the healing process. All I know is I was still in a large amount of pain that night that we showed up at Carowinds to ride Fury. And I got, I think, 10 rides that night. It was just open that evening. I got 10 rides that night on Fury. And after that, I never took another pain pill. Pain was gone. Completely disappeared. So, you know, when we're talking about coaster therapy, I was joking with people, but I was halfway serious too. I call it the healing power of Sting. And right, that coaster is just so graceful and so easy to ride. It's fantastic. So that's my Fury story. So we just talked about your favorite coaster, Fury 325. Out of your 129 credits, let's go to the opposite end of the spectrum here. What is your absolute worst of all time, least favorite one and done coaster you've ridden?
Hurler.
Tell me more about that. And Hurler's got quite a reputation. What was it that you just hated about Hurler?
It was just boring. It didn't really do anything for me. I only did it one time. I did it in the front row. And then on the trip I went back in September, we did King's Dominion as well. So I did Twisted Timbers. So, yeah. I rode the regular version, and I rode the RMC version.
I can say, the only thing I remember about Hurler, I rode it once, and it was just boring.
Yeah.
I don't remember it being, I guess, particularly rough. People say it's really rough now, but I've not ridden it since 2019. I just remember it not being exciting enough for me to want to ride again. My least favorite coaster, I've shared this a couple times with some other guests. Are you familiar with the John Ivers Backyard Coasters?
I heard about it, but I never rode it.
And it took me a long time to get this arranged and on a prayer and a dime. And somehow I managed to do it. In July of 2021, we rode Blue Flash and Blue 2. And Blue Flash, wow. They're not owned by John Ivers anymore. I'll put it like that. I was told, you know, we're not going to charge you because we're not open to the public. And this is right at your own risk. And he meant every word of it. That way, you know, we're not legally responsible if you get injured. And I was shocked because I went back and watched. It was a video that Coaster Studios had done on these coasters. And I found out that the loop in Blue Flash, it pulls more G's than Diamondback. And it's just very small and tight. So he told me, I just told him, I said, tell me how to ride. He told me how to move, when to move, and I did exactly what he said. And I lived to tell about it. He asked me if I wanted to ride again, and I said no. Other than that, another really bad one that stands out to me, other than a lot of Vekoma SLCs and stuff, which I just hate, is, have you ridden the stand-up one at Carowinds Vortex?
Yeah.
What do you think of that one?
It was okay for what it was, because I've been on Green Lantern and Green Adventure, obviously. So those are the only two stand-ups I've ever been on. I haven't been over Georgia yet, so.
Okay. The one over Georgia wasn't bad. Green Lantern, I thought was okay. Vortex at Carowinds, of course, like I said, I'm short, like 5'3". It about beat my head into oblivion. It hurt so bad. And my legs just felt like they were going to explode. Of course, that was when I was very overweight, so that may have had something to do with it. But I don't want to try that again. If nothing else, because of the head pain. Oh, my Lord. I had to go sit down after that and take migraine medicine. It was, I mean, and both of my kids, too. They hated it as much as I did. Yes. You know, and for the kids to have like that, it was just a bad ride for us. Okay, so now we are going to come out of the fear journey, and we're going to get to the main course of our conversation here. The topic you are most excited to talk about, and I'm most excited to hear about, is El Toro. Tell me about your history of writing El Toro. When did you start writing? Start with that.
So 2016 was my first time I ever wrote it. And I remember being scared to death because it was going to be my first time ever writing it. And the rest is history.
Okay, so at what point did you start counting the rides? When did this go from more just, I want to ride El Toro, to something you wanted to do more of?
The same year, 2016, because it was celebrating its 10th year, and I'm like, let me see how many times I can ride this thing. And then kept going and going and going, and then the crew got accustomed to seeing me all the time. They're like, who are you? Like, you've been riding this thing all year. I'm like, my name's Ryan. They're like, oh, can we give you a nickname? I'm like, yeah, sure, that's fine. So the one guy's like, can we call you Mr. Toro? I'm like, yeah, that's fine. That fits me well. Sure. Go for it.
So that's where that started.
Yep. The name.
How cool is that? How many rides do you currently have on El Toro?
1,619.
Any idea when you're going to hit the big 2,000?
As long as it opens this year, I should hit it. I'm only 381 away, and I'm only 81 away from my 1,700th time on that thing. So it's going to be a big deal when it happens. I'm really excited for that when the day it comes, and just be around my supporting cast and my supportive system who's been there for me like through thick and thin.
That's going to be an awesome day. Now, very quickly, I want to mentioned something that you said that resonated with me a bit. You mentioned that you were talking about a friend that wasn't an enthusiast. Yep. When did you become an enthusiast? Have you always been one, or was there a specific coaster that made you an enthusiast? What's your background there?
I wasn't really the biggest coaster fan back then because I had other hobbies growing up. So when I was younger, back in 2001, I was 10 years old at the time. So went to Great Adventure sporadically here and there, and then Medusa really helped me just break through my shell and like, okay, let's have fun with this.
All right. And back to El Toro. You said that coaster in particular, while Fury's number one by a margin, El Toro has a special place in your heart. Why does it mean so much to you to keep riding that coaster?
Because I've helped kids overcome their fear of it, and everyone knows of me, knows my story, and just get all starstruck when they see me. It's like, oh my God, you're him. You're such an inspiration here. Everyone likes seeing you here. Keep it up, and there's no reason for not to stop riding that thing. Do what makes you happy.
I've told people before, and this will make me sound old, I'm sure, which I am, so that's okay. But there was a show growing up for me called Cheers, and the theme song was Sometimes You Want to Go where everybody knows your name. And it's like theme park family. you know, when you go, the feeling there is, I mean, it's like your home away from home. Now, you said you'd help kids overcome some fear. What are some specific stories you had to share about that?
Sure. So when I was in line for Toro one day, I'm just minding my own business, my friend, and this kid's father just comes up out of nowhere and says, "Excuse me, can I talk to you for a second?" I'm like, sure, what's up? "Are you Mr. Toro by chance?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's me." And then his son's going like all starstruck about me. He's like, "Dad, that's the Toro man. I told you, that's him."
Wow.
And the kid was like, I don't know, probably 8 years old at the time. Mm-hmm. I'm like, how does he know who I am? So that's crazy.
And I'm sure that it meant the absolute world to that child.
Oh, yeah.
That you took time to talk to him. We had an incident, too. I try to share my experience. You know, we've got the experience of the Coaster Kids meetups and stuff, too. You know, if I see an opportunity to try to help someone in some way, I will. And there's actually been a couple times on completely opposite stories. One time was in Tennessee. We were waiting to ride a mountain coaster. Oh, and this mother, she was absolutely torturing her poor child that was scared to death, that did not want to get on this mountain coaster. Oh, she was calling her names and shaming her and all this other stuff. Unknown. And I just told her, I went over there and I said, "Ma'am, I said, I'm not trying to overstep here, but can I please have a word with you?" Told her, I said, "I understand that you like riding coasters. That's great. But if you want your child to ever love coasters as much as you do and want to ride with you, you have to wait until they're ready. This is going to traumatize your child, and they're likely never going to want to do it again." She listened, thankfully. I didn't know if I would get verbally attacked or not, but I couldn't stand back and watch that kid go through that for a second. And then this last July on the East Coast trip, we also, one of the parks we went to was Hershey Park. There was this child, this boy, behind us in line for Candymonium. And he was with two women, his mom, his grandmother. The kid was crying. He was absolutely scared to death. And I turned around and started trying to talk to him, encourage him. And the mother told me, she said, if you've ever heard of such a thing, he's an enthusiast without ever having ridden any major coasters. He watches the POVs over and over again, but he's afraid to ride the coasters. And that's when my son stepped in and started talking. He said, "I used to be the same way." You know, we talked to him and he stopped crying. He did. He got on, he rode the coaster. We waited for him after he got off. He said, "How did it go?" He said, "I didn't completely love it, but I didn't hate it." He said, "I'm going to take a break. I'm going to go do some other things, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to try again later." So that to me was a major success that day. You know, getting the kid to want to face it and conquer it, which I'm sure by this time he's made great progress. And it just feels good to help people like that. Now, you did tell me you are messaging and stuff on social media that you like to take coaster trips, as many enthusiasts do. What coaster trips have you taken, and what trips do you currently have planned for this year?
I took my first big trip for the first time in a while. I went to... Where I go, I went to Kings Dominion for the first time, Carowinds and Busch Gardens Williamsburg. Those are all new coasters for me, and Copperhead Strike ended up being my 100th, actually, at Carowinds.
Nice. And what were your favorite coasters at those parks? How'd that go for you?
Fury easily, Copperhead Strike, Afterburn was great. I also went to Hershey last year for the first time in a couple of years because I get in for free since I work at Six Flags.
Nice.
Pandemonium was, I still like Nitro more than it, but it was okay for what it is.
Okay.
Stormrunner's fantastic. It's like a mini King Ka.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, Fahrenheit's good.
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed those very much.
Kings Dominion, obviously, like Twisted Timber, 305. Mm-hmm. That was something else that was intense as anything.
Oh, yes. What about Busch Gardens Waynesburg? Did you like that?
Oh, Pantheon's amazing.
Yes, it is my, I think, right now it's currently ranked. I've ridden 365 coasters, soon to be over 400. I should end this year in the mid-400s after I'm done traveling. It's currently, I think, my number 7. Go ahead. You're fine. Now, so have you ridden Velocicoaster yet?
No, not yet.
If you like Pantheon, you'll love Velocicoaster.
So Williamsburg, I liked Apollo's Chariot.
Mm-hmm.
Loch Ness Monster was iconic, obviously. That was fun. Because it's a rare arrow. You don't see many arrows out there like that anymore.
Yes.
I love Verbolten. Verbolten's fantastic.
Wasn't that a surprise?
Yeah, we don't talk about that, but it's good. It's good.
Yeah, I'd never seen a POV or anything of it. I'd never even really heard of it. We got on that, and I was like, whoa. It's fun. It was definitely one of the sleeper hits of that first trip that we had to Busch Gardens Williamsburg, for sure. Now, I want to backtrack a little bit to something you said. I've ridden, I think I sat down and counted 8 B&M Hyper so far. And the ones that stand out to me, Mako, and right behind that, and I've ridden Nitro too, right behind Mako, and I mean, barely, was Candymonium. And then right behind that, I drive it over Georgia. Nitro, I'm sorry, it dropped for me. It's in that boring and mild category that a lot of those hypers drop into for me after the especially the top two. What do you like better about Nitro than Candymonium? I'm curious.
It's just like you go like more into the woods and then you get good airtime. It's just the Candymonium, it's good for what it is. It's just, I don't like the seatbelt part.
Okay. Now that makes sense. Totally. And honestly, they're not needed.
No.
Clamshell's gonna keep you in. My son and I have said that 1,000 times. It's like, realistically, you're going down the drop of fury. That clamshell raises up. Is that seatbelt going to hold you in? Probably not. You're out. You're all clearing out of there. You're going by. So, yeah, I totally get what you're saying. I think that's more a Cedar Fair thing more than anything. Park-specific thing, should I say. That,
right.
You know, whether the seatbelts are required or not. But I totally agree with you. They're not needed or necessary. And they can be limiting on the amount of airtime that you experience on the ride. So I totally get that. So I know that I collect an absolute ton of merchandise. I've got a bunch of Thuzi shirts, a refrigerator full of magnets. I've got pen board that's full. I'm gonna have to get another one. I've got different coaster lanyards with pens on them. I've got coaster models, pictures. I've got my car decked out for the most part. You told me that specifically you collect El Toro merchandise, which I'm very interested in because that was something I couldn't find a lot of when we went to the park the last time. I did get an El Toro t-shirt, but everything else I got from the park was Jersey Devil. That's all I could find. And I did love Jersey Devil too, just not as much as El Toro. What types of El Toro merchandise have you collected over the years? And what are some of the more rare items you have?
This hat is from the first year.
So this is an El Toro hat. What is the bull embroidered?
Yeah.
Because it looks like stitching coming out off of the hat.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I found that at a thrift store down where I live for $5.
Wow.
And then I have one, two, three. I have three El Toro plushie bulls, one from 07, one from 2013, and then one from 2016 from when the count started.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a piece of track. I have a nut. I have a bolt. I have multiple shirts. I have a first year shirt. I have a second year shirt.
Nice. That's something I would definitely have more of if I could get my hands on it. I don't think El Toro merchandise is anything you could ever have enough of. But in my world, merchandise from any good coaster is not something I can ever have enough of. I tell people I may have a problem, but I'm completely okay with that. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing.
And then the one Toro bull, he came from Canada. I got him as a late birthday present 2 years ago. And Billy's like, I need to get rid of this now. It's taking up too much room in my shop. And I messaged her. I'm like, hey, is this still available? I'll buy it. And of course, shipping and everything else costs a little bit more since it came from Canada. And I was tracking that thing on my phone at work every day until it came. I'm like, is it here yet? Is it here yet? And then it says, your package arrived 20 minutes ago. I'm like, I get off work in an hour. I got to hurry home and get it and open this thing up and see what all the hype is all about. And I was so happy.
That sounds like a best birthday ever kind of birthday to me. Get a surprise gift like that. That's amazing. Okay, so the next question I'm going to ask, I want to put this in context for you just so it doesn't take you by surprise. The next question I'm going to ask, we've just added to the podcast this season, and it's in memory of one of our fans, and he was a guest on the first season of the podcast before I joined, and he was also a good friend of David's. And was associated with Coaster Kids as well. His name was Dusty. And Dusty passed away last year unexpectedly at the age of 16. And, you know, when things like that happen, untimely events that you don't expect, it really makes you take a look in the mirror and realize how precious time is. And, you know, for me, it's just a constant reminder when I see and read and hear these things. The time is now. Live every day like it is your last. Waiting does no more than just that. It's just waiting. And if you keep waiting for the perfect time to come to do the things you want to do with your life, go the places you want to go. Say the things you want to say to people that mean the most. You know, you never know when those opportunities aren't going to be there. You know, we never know which day is going to be our last. So it really makes me reflect. So thinking about that, you know, in your life and your legacy and the impact you're trying to have on people, how would you like your family, friends, and coworkers to remember you?
As a genuine, caring person who lived life to the fullest.
Awesome. And genuine and caring, I'm sure you get those opportunities quite a bit through your
work, absolutely.
School and over at Six Flags Great Adventure. And really quickly, before we get to our last two questions, can you tell me a little bit more about the work that you're doing at Six Flags Great Adventure this year. I've seen your social media post about it. Share with our audience what you're going to be doing this season at the park.
I'm working at Justice League Battle for Metropolis, where I worked last year, and that's the hero section. And I'm working also at Wonder Woman and Last of the Truth, our pendulum ride, which is in the same area of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not operating it, but I'm doing attendance, so I check everyone's restraints, tell them to have fun. I press the all clear with the operator, and we send you out, and you get to enjoy yourself.
And is this, you said you worked at the park last year. Is this your second year working at the park?
Yes.
And what's that experience been like for you?
It's been a blast. I've met so many people through the park as a guest, and then seeing for myself what it takes to work at a ride
mm-hmm.
at the place where I am known for, obviously, but just being part of a team and meeting new people, that's the ultimate reward in my opinion.
Awesome. And when people leave the park or mm-hmm. walk away from the ride, what do you want them to take away from their experience with you? What's your goal when you're serving your guests?
I want them to know that to have a great day and have a Six Flags day, like we say there, but
mm-hmm.
I like to joke around with them like, oh, are you scared? You should be. I see the fear in your eyes. They come up to me after they get off and they give me high fives saying, thank you, Ryan, for a good ride. That was a lot of fun. Some people get back in line and do it multiple times. Like, did I just see you? Yeah, you just did. We're doing it again. I'm like, okay, no problem. Go ahead.
That's fantastic. And I'm so glad to hear you say that, because I hear, especially through social media, Six Flags Great Adventure get a lot of flack, you know, for not being a good park. I loved it. It was honestly, that and Fiesta Texas were my favorite new parks of the year last year. What for me, you know, that made that trip so awesome for me were the interactions I had with the park staff. And like what you're describing, the way your goal for guests, I experienced that same level of enthusiasm at multiple rides. And we had a great, particularly on Jersey Devil. I mean, you know, they keep that train rolling. And we rode so many times because it was time when the line was just completely dead. We got to know the ride operators, took a picture with them, got to talk to them. I mean, it was just a great time. And another thing I really respected about Six Flags Great Adventure that I would like to see consistently done in more parks was the implementation of park policies. You know, the loose article policy. Every ride was consistent. There wasn't one operator that wasn't on the same page, you know, with another one. It was consistent across the board at every ride. No questions asked. You know what the policy is, and it's adhered to. And I just think, you know, if more parks would implement that with that amount of fidelity, there would be far fewer safety issues than what occur. So I had a great experience, and I'm excited to return. It may happen this year. I don't know yet. My summer break is going to be a little bit shorter. I do want to return to the East Coast. It's sometime, hopefully, in the near future when Wildcat's Revenge opens. But time will tell whether that happens this year or if I have to wait till next year. I'll see how that goes. Okay, so one main reason that our audience listens to our podcast is for inspiration, for therapy, for advice. And sometimes this can be, you know, involving fear-facing roller coasters, amusement parks. And for others, it can just be for life advice in general. What advice would you like to give to those who are listening to you this evening?
do what makes you happy and don't let anyone discourage you or tell you anything differently. You control your own life. You control your own destiny. If you want to ride something over 1,000 times like I have, go out and do it and have fun.
And, you know, thinking about those thousands of rides, for the people that don't get it, what is it that keeps you going back and riding that ride and not getting bored and tired and want to go do something else?
Because I consider that ride like my second home, and everyone knows my name. Everyone knows who I am. I get greeted with a smile like, oh, you're going again? Going again? Last year, I rode it 42 times.
Awesome. So it's the people.
Yeah. And then the guests who I meet, and just, I met a guest at Jersey Devil last year who just somehow recognized me, and his friend's like, you know him? And the friend's like, yeah, that's Ryan. That's the Toro guy. And the guy gave me a big hug and a pat on the back, and we got a picture together. And so it's just, it's very rewarding, and I never expected it to take off like it did. And I'm just happy with what I do, and I'm happy I work there.
Listen to you talk, it reminds me of speaking with a couple of previous guests that both have a Kings Island connection. Nick Gaskins, he's on his fourth year in a row of perfect attendance at Kings Island.
Wow. He
doesn't miss a day. Now, yes, he has a job. Yes, he works, you know, but he will show up every day that the park is open and operating. And Vince Overfield, who hit 3,000 rides on Orion last year.
Wow.
Same thing. You know, I'm talking to both of them, and what resonated from them is also, I'm also now hearing from you, when they go, it's like family. People are happy to see them. Now, Vince, if he misses a day, he said, you know, people check up on me. They ask me where I've been. You know, I'm actually missed. People care. And it's the people, too. Nick said it doesn't matter, even though he's there all the time. There's different people. Each day is a different experience, you know, with those people and the people that he interacts with. So to him, every day is like the first day. Just because the people are what make it great. So that brings us to our final question of the evening. For our audience that's listening that would like to find out more about Mr. El Toro, where can they reach out and find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram, r_friend. So that's R and then underscore FREUND.
Now, are you on Facebook or anything else as well?
And Facebook, yes.
Same name, Ryan Friend.
Yep.
Yep, and just to make sure the audience hears it clearly, his last name is spelled FREUND. And I'm going to be watching very closely to know when you are approaching the 2000th ride in El Toro. And if at all possible, I would love to be there that day. I don't know if it's doable or not, but if it happens to land on a calendar day when I'm available, it would be fun to make it happen.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me this evening and share your story and be able to discuss our love of El Toro. I've really had a blast. Thank you for sharing your story with us. I've had a great time.
You're very welcome.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. If you want to see more of us, we upload every Friday. Be sure to like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, all at Coaster Challenge. Links are in the description below. Thanks for joining us here today.